This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Oh, come to us. Abide with us. May you continue to be for us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Well, I just flew in from across the water, and boy, am I tired. I told them at the earlier service I've waited 58 years to be able to start a sermon that way, and it has finally come to pass that it actually fits, because we literally flew back home yesterday from Europe. Merry Christmas. It was quite a journey. It was quite a journey for Mary. As a matter of fact, journeying was very much part of her DNA from the time that she was called to be the mother of God. We have the stories that we hear that she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, a journey that would have been 100 miles. And then she stays there 3 months, and now she is 3 months more pregnant, and she has to go back 100 miles to go home. As we hear in the Nativity story, there is Mary riding on a donkey, traveling again, 3 days' journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to fulfill a government edict, another 100 miles, and it would have been much longer in her state. We know the story continues. An angel warns them in a dream, and so they have to journey into Egypt. Flee. Estimated another 100 miles. And it would have been just this far to come home. Yes, journeying was part of Mary's DNA, but perhaps the Christmas story is to tell us that to be a Christian is to be on the journey. In each of those cases, when Mary journeyed, there was some revelation that resulted or that started the journey. That there was a point when something was revealed to her that let her know that life was bigger than her and God had a bigger plan in mind. And it was that moment of revelation that gave meaning to the rest of her traveling. And therein, I think, lies the Christmas message for us in 2014. We are all given in one way or another these moments of revelation. And the question becomes for us, do those moments of revelation give meaning to the rest of our lives' events, or do the rest of our lives' events negate the meaning of those moments of revelation? It is a choice that we have to make. It is a choice that Mary made. And Mary continued to say yes. Part of the journey that my family was just on included a trip to Ephesus, a city in Turkey that goes back to the days long before Jesus, but was a thriving community in the time of Jesus and thereafter, and the archaeological proof seems to have emerged that that is where Mary spent the last years of her life. That wasn't a 100-mile journey. To go from Jerusalem to Ephesus is 1,160 miles. Traveling was a part of her DNA. Now think of the moments of revelation that would have given Mary the ability to be sustained on those journeys. An angel appears to her. Elizabeth tells her, "Hail Mary, full of grace." An angel warns them in a dream before they go to Egypt. She journeys to the foot of the cross in the moment of revelation as she watches as her own son dies. All of these are moments of revelation that give meaning to the rest of her life. And so tonight, we gather here. We have all had these moments of revelation, one way or the other. Christmas seems to be the time of year when it is easier for us sometimes to experience those things. Barriers can be easily broken down. Relationships can be restored. We see the joy in the faces of children. We see empty places at the table filled up with strangers who have been invited. Outreaches here and there. And these moments of revelation become the opportunity for us then to establish meaning for the rest of the journey and events in our lives. They're not all pleasant. This church has known its own moments of revelation this year, and they're painful. We lost Elliot Williams, our senior warden. Does Elliot's death negate the meaning of the rest of our lives? Or does it become for us as a church community the moment of revelation that could give significance to the rest of our lives together? To take Elliot's unfinished miracle and to live it ourselves. Or more recently, the death of Philip Rowland. Does Philip's loss negate the meaning of the rest of our lives? Or does it become for us the moment of revelation that gives significance to the rest of our journey? To take Philip's unfinished miracle and live it ourselves. And this year we could go on with these unfinished miracles. Eric Hyland, a young father who left too soon. Harry McDaniel, one of the saints of St. Joseph. Peter Antonelli, another. Mary McCord. All of these moments of revelation in our lives that, just like Mary, can give meaning to the rest of our life's journey if we so choose. Why is that important? It's important because if we are looking at life as an unfinished miracle, then the assumption is that there is a miracle in each of us. I was reading a scientific article the other day that was talking about the probability of each one of us to exist as we exist, who we are as we know us. And the odds are against it from happening. The probability of each one of us existing as we are is 1 in 10 to the 2.5 millionth power. 1 in 10 to the 2.5 millionth power. Now, you don't have to know math to understand those are pretty small probable odds. The atoms in the entire universe only come to about 10 to the 80th power. The probability of the precious incarnation that is you is a miracle. But you're an unfinished miracle. We are all unfinished miracles. The freedom we strive for is small compared to the freedom we're capable of. What we've been able to contribute to our own life, to the lives of others, to our world, is just a scratch on the surface of the impact we can yet have on each other. There is much unfinished about us. Mary could have ended her journey with the revelation with Elizabeth. She could have ended it with this story that we end tonight. She could have ended it at Calvary. But she journeyed on. And this is our call as well. Christmas is an unfinished miracle. Yes, love has come into the world and dwelled among us and showed us how we can become love by the choices we make. Love became us so that we can become love. Never did it fall on Jesus to do it all. It was Jesus' goal throughout his life to just get it started. His intention was to open the door, to go through it first himself, and then for us to finish the miracle. An unfinished person or an unfinished world invites us to invest in completing the picture. And so it becomes then back to the question, are these moments of revelation giving meaning to the rest of our lives' events? Or are we going to allow the rest of our lives' events to negate these moments of revelation? The choice becomes one we all have to make. It's an amazing miracle. But is it a miracle that an angel appeared to a 13-year-old girl, or is the true miracle that that 13-year-old girl said yes? Is it a miracle that an angel appeared to Joseph to tell him not to give up on Mary, or is the true miracle that Joseph chose to say yes? Is it a miracle that the angels appeared to shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus, or is the miracle that those shepherds chose to follow the star to Bethlehem? The answer to that we all need to make. But I dare say the beauty of this night tells us that the miracle that each one of you are calls us to journey on and continue to say yes. Amen.